Pete Rose logged more hits in baseball history than anyone else. No one has come close to breaking his record. But he was also at the center of one of the game's biggest scandals, a scandal that changed baseball forever. In the new book, Charlie Hustle, New York Times bestselling author Keith O'Brien chronicles Pete Rose's spectacular rise and fall. Drawing on firsthand interviews with Rose himself and his associates, this is Pete Rose as we've never seen him before. By Charlie Hustle, available wherever books are sold.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Everybody knows the legendary Hollywood star Fred Astaire, his charismatic dance moves and all those movies that he made with Ginger Rogers. But maybe you've forgotten about his older sister Adele, who was his original dance partner and driving force behind his successes in the Roaring Twenties. Adele was also destined for a life on the stage. However, she swapped the limelight for marriage, settling in the magnificent Lismore Castle in County Waterford. Historical fiction author Nicola Cassidy has explored the untold story of the Astaires, and she's written a new novel called Adele, and she's on the line. Good morning, Nicola.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, it's an interesting form of writing, historical fiction, because we're clearly talking about a living, breathing woman, Adele Astaire, and how her life intersects with her brother, but also her marriage and how it intersects with the people of Lismore Castle, both those of the Cavendish family, but also the servant classes and so on. How much is true in your book and how much is total fiction?
Nearly all of it is true, I'd say. I'm calling it biofiction. So it's not a memoir. I've used her whole life. I've researched her life to an inch of everything that I could find out about her that's true. I've written her story as I've reimagined it. And I've put a little bit of fiction woven through with other characters to try and give her a backdrop. So I'm calling it biofiction. But as far as the plot and the storyline and all that, that's almost all true.
Now, tell me how you came across Adele Astaire. I mean, you can Google Fred and you can find out that he used to dance with his older sister, Da Da Da. But she has been largely forgotten, I would suggest.
Yeah, she's been almost written out of history. And I discovered her through, I tend to watch when I'm trying to research stories, I tend to let them come to me. And I was just watching a Netflix documentary one day about Chatsworth House in the UK. And they briefly mentioned that Adele Astaire had married into the family, that she had lived in Ireland and that her husband was buried in Ireland. And it just stuck with me that this story is like, who's Adele Astaire? I'd never heard of her. And then when I just Googled her and looked her up, I realised that she had this amazing life. She had this amazing connection to Ireland and nobody knows about it. We all know about Fred. Nobody knows about Adele. So when I started researching, I found that in the 1920s and 1930s, she was very famous. They had paparazzi following them in Ireland and in London when they were on the stage. So I felt like she had been forgotten and I wanted to bring her story back. And that was my driving force in really writing the novel, which was she has such an interesting life. She was a very interesting person and she'd been forgotten. And that annoyed me. I wanted to bring her back a little bit.
I was looking last night in preparation for our conversation at an interview Michael Parkinson did with Fred Astaire. And one of the questions he asked was, who was your favourite dance partner? Because he danced with many different leading ladies in the movies, but Ginger Rogers, of course, being the one with whom he worked most. And I was hoping that he would say Adele, his older sister, but he didn't.
He won't.
He didn't say that.
Fred was a very humble type of person and he never would say who his favourite dance partner was. But he and Adele were very, very close. And even after when they separated, the only reason they separated as dance partners, and they were hugely successful, they were really at the height of their careers and they separated in 1932 when Adele got married. And she went to get married and he was then almost immediately put in with Ginger Rogers and he did not want to do that partnership. And there's telegrams between him and his agents and he's saying, I don't want another partnership. I've just gotten out of one. I don't want to go into another one. And he was very reluctant he wanted to be a solo star at that point because he had spent nearly 30 years in the background behind Adele. And so it was a very interesting kind of dynamic that he had with Ginger Rogers. And there's always that little bit of tension. But Adele was his number one. And when he gave he got an award in the 1970s, a Lifetime Achievement Award, and he dedicated it to Adele. Adele had just recently died before that. And he said it was always her. And she was, apparently she was a better dancer, which is very hard to believe. You know,
It's interesting when you talk about that story where he did say, I don't want another partnership. You know, Adele was my partner, my sister, my muse. I don't want another one. But he dismissed with Parkinson completely the notion that their relationship, his and Ginger Rogers, was constant fighting. He said, you know, the press love stories like that. The truth is, I never fought with anybody. I'm not that kind of guy.
He's really not. And he'd, like, part of my research was really exploring Fred's life, because he has he wrote his own biography in the 1970s, I think it was. And that's really where a lot of the detail comes from Adele, because he references her throughout. So I could pick up about Adele. But he was a very interesting, he didn't fight, but he was such a hard worker. And he wouldn't leave the stage, or he wouldn't leave the rehearsal room until everything was perfect. And that could be 2 or 3 days of nonstop rehearsing. And I think if they talked about tension or anything, I'd say it was just the hard work that they went through, because those movies were shot live as well. So it wasn't like they would retake and retake till they got the perfect dance, and they might perform a 4 or 5 minute dance 20, 30 times in a row. So they were super fit and super perfectionists.
Now, the Irish connection, she married Charles Cavendish and became the lady of Lismore House, Lismore Castle. How did she meet Charles?
She met him backstage at a London show, and he came in with Ali Khan, who's a kind of well-known horse breeder and prince, I think, actually.
Aga Khan's father, I presume, Ali Khan.
Yeah, I think so. And Charles was mad into horses, and Fred Astaire was mad into horse racing as well. So she met him backstage, and she had just come out of kind of 2 long-term relationships. She'd actually given up on love. She was in her 30s at that point, which in 1930, I think that would have been quite old for, you know, hoping to settle down and have children. So she met him, and she basically fell in love with him. It was a true match. She then went back to the States, and he actually moved over to New York. His parents sent him to New York for prohibition reasons, because he was a big drinker. So they sent him over to New York to try and escape. They thought that would do him good. And their relationship really blossomed over there. And she proposed to him in New York then, after about a year. After, it was quite a whirlwind romance.
Now, there's a scene in the book, and this is not a spoiler, because it's just kind of an interesting little anecdote. And it has Charles going to a tailor in New York to get his suits altered. And they're altered so he could hide booze on his person, and no one would know.
That's true. I can't remember where I read that somewhere. Like, a lot of my references are all factual, you know, and he did that. And I suppose we're laughing, but he was a serious, it was what got him in the end. He died very young from alcoholism, and it was in the family. And she wasn't a big drinker, Adele, at all, but she just absolutely loved Charles. Like, it really was a true romance. And in the end, it was very unhappy because of his drinking. But yeah, that's what he did. He had little secret pockets everywhere, and he loved all the speakeasies. And they actually got engaged in a speakeasy as well, in a club. Club 21 in New York. So she had a fascinating life, but it was tragic as well. You know, she married for love, and it really didn't work out for her in the end.
Yeah. She did some service in wartime in London.
Yeah. So Lismore became like an invalid home during the war and World War II. And they also gave some airplanes. They donated, and there was a plane called Adele Astaire to the war effort. And at that point, her husband Charles' drinking was really becoming a huge problem, and her life at home. And she was lady of the manor. She really had this magnificent home. She'd done everything, you know, to try and bring it back to life. She tried to have her family. And then as the war went on around 1944, she was having a lot of trouble in Ireland. So she went to London, and she worked with the Red Cross over there, and she wrote letters. And she was still famous, quite famous at that time. So soldiers loved that. And she danced with the soldiers, so they could say she danced with Adele Astaire. And she would sign the letters Adele Astaire, sister of Fred Astaire. And Fred Astaire performed for the troops as well in London towards the end of the war. So that was her. So she was they came from a very humble background. They had a very nice, you know, they really had these intrinsic values of, they were very humble, but they were very, very eager to help as well. And by all accounts, she was a lovely person, but also quite somebody you wouldn't want to cross either. She was a very fiery type of person too, like quite different to Fred.
And she had many celebrity friends, including J.M. Barrie, the author of Peter Pan, George Bernard Shaw, Winston Churchill, and so many more.
Yeah, because she grew up when she was from the 1920s. She was in the stage circuit. She absolutely loved writers. She had a fascination with George Bernard Shaw, who was a lot older than her. But she was yearning for, and in the novel, I go through this, how she wanted like an intelligent, educated man, because she was very, you know, intelligent herself. She read ferociously, and she loved that kind of older gentleman. And George Bernard Shaw, because I visited their archives, the Astaire archives in Boston, and there is a postcard from George Bernard Shaw that I was holding that he had written back to her. And also Winston, they'd met when she was in the States, and they'd become very friendly because Winston's mother was American. And then JFK became into her life then in the 1940s as well, because Kathleen Kennedy was married to Charles Cavendish's brother. So there was a huge connection. And she had celebrity friends, but she was a celebrity herself.
Interesting text here. Our second cousin, Anne Quinlan, became a good friend of Adele's in Lismore and eventually moved to live with her in the Dorchester in New York. And we've lots of stories about her from her time in New York. That's another little bit of research that you might want to follow up on.
That's fascinating, Fat, because I actually was told that story and I didn't know who that person was. And a lot of my novel follows that person.
Well, perhaps if they get in touch again, we can actually make the connection with you, Nicola. Adele's life, you say, was tragic. I mean, she lost her husband to alcohol, really, when he was quite young. But she herself had lost the chance to be a mother because perhaps of some injury that she'd suffered earlier in her life.
Well, that's, speculative. She had a very severe injury when she was... she was burnt on a boat. She had a boating accident and she was very badly burned. She was in hospital for a number of years, for a number of weeks and months. And she had tragedies around her pregnancy. She had three children and none of them survived post-birth. And I'm told that she blamed her accident, but we'll never know. You know, it could have been any reason. I don't think healthcare. I think if it had happened in these days, her children would have survived. It's just they were really premature. So I go through that in the book. I'm speculating that. But that's where the fiction comes in, where you're trying to recreate someone's life. And you don't know for sure because the person, I can't interview Adele. And I don't know if she'd tell you that anyway, but that was information that I heard back.
Now, you got to go to Lismore Castle and have a tour because it's probably substantially as Adele improved it. You know that line which you quote, King John built the castle, but Adele Astaire plumbed it.
Yeah.
So what is Lismore Castle like?
Oh, it's fabulous. If anyone has seen it, I'm from Louth, so I'm not usually in Waterford, but it's absolutely imposing castle. It hangs off a rock. It's a Gothic type castle. And it's very homely inside. It's very cozy. It's kind of done in a courtyard structure. And it was built in the 1200s. So by the time Adele got there in 1930, it had been redone in the 19th century, but it really was old fashioned. So she set about, that was her project. She pumped a lot of her own money into it. She redid it. And she was American. She was used to plumbing. And I don't think in Ireland in the 1930s we were. So she put bathrooms in. And when I visited, because it's a private castle, you could see her bedroom, Fred's bedroom where he stayed. And it was all pretty much the same as when it was in the 1930s. And I really felt her presence there. And I still think she is. Because she visited there till 1979. So she loved Lismore. And she went there for 3 months every year. And Fred was always there
because
as well. So
even when she married again, the family, the Cavendish family, still welcomed her to stay for 3 months of the year in Lismore.
Yeah, well, you see, because she married again in 1947, so she gave up. Otherwise, she was inheriting the castle. So when she remarried, she gave up her inheritance for that reason. So she agreed that they agreed that that was the terms, that she would come for 3 months of the year. Partly it's because she just loved it so much and she loved Ireland and she loved her escape. But she had put a lot of work into the castle as well. And I just think it's fascinating. She visited right up to nearly the 1980s. It's such a long time.
Well, I tell you, it's a great read and it's a very quick read. I mean, you gallop through it because it's so fascinating and it takes you from chapter to chapter. And there's another subplot story, which I won't go into at this stage. But the book is called Adele, described as a biofictional account of the life of Adele Astaire. It's out now and available also online. And its author, Nicola Cassidy. Nicola, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thanks for having me, Pat. Thank you.